Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to The Fringe of It,
episode number 39.
Do, 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 do.
Are you doing the Pink Panther intro there?
Yeah, I haven't heard that in ages.
Do, 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 do. There's probably like some new fandangled Pink Panther theme tune that we know nothing about.
It's probably like I don't know. It's just probably way moderner.
Moderner. If podcasting doesn't work out for us, we can always turn into the new Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
A bit moderner.
Less than 3 months until Rocket Man, the Elton John film, is released.
The trailer.
No, is there a trailer?
Well, when Joe and I went to see Green Book, which we will come on to in a minute, the trailer was before it. And
we did not get that in our Green Book.
Yeah, we did see it last week. And I don't know, I feel like we saw it at an Everyman cinema, which had...
Oh, you're probably getting a better calibre of adverts at an Everyman.
I mean, some of the adverts, Charlotte. My God, there was a Grey Goose one. There was like, it was all for Audi cars. It was all like really like... nice posh things, and I was like, ooh.
We're getting an Everyman in 2021, I believe.
Oh wow.
Yeah, not long now. Not long now, Lincolnshire.
I've been saying that about the cinema, like the picture house that's opening down near our road, for ages, and it's still not open. So, you know, anyway, back to the trailer. Yeah, they showed the trailer and it was amazing, but I didn't realize that he sings in it. Not Elton.
That worked out for Bohemian Rhapsody. What do you mean?
No, but obviously in Bohemian Rhapsody, they overlaid it with Freddie's vocals.
Oh, I did not know that.
You are...
I did know that. I did know that. It's late. It's late in the day.
I was going to say, you've got to take that back because you have to be joking. Can you imagine if you thought that was Rami Malek singing?
Let's backtrack before we go straight into Teletour.
Are you embarrassed?
Yeah, basically, I'm just trying to move on in any way, shape or form. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm going to apologise for my gruffalo voice. I've been reading too much with June, but I am recovering from a cold and it doesn't seem to be shifting. I'm actually glad that we haven't recorded this sooner because I think I would have had to stop to blow my nose. Sorry, that's way too much information. But I feel like I've lived a lot of lives since we recorded last. I've been ill, June's now ill, and Jack's away working. And so basically I might just kind of like mark an X on our door and just don't come in.
Oh, you poor thing. I know. I remember.
I know. Can you tell I'm wallowing?
No, but you were coming down. You were coming down with something when we last recorded. So it came to fruition. And now you're on the rebound.
Yeah, no, I'm on the rebound. I'm looking for another illness. It was really bad. I was in bed the first day shaking because I was so cold. Like I couldn't even, you know, when you're ill and you're like, right, I'm not well enough to work, but I'm not ill enough to, I will enjoy my Netflix in bed's kind of session is basically what I'm trying to say. But the first day that I was...
That's pretty ill though.
Well, yeah, no, but you know, you can just about enjoy kind of like resting your head on the pillow and and watching telly. But the first day, I couldn't even enjoy that. And I was like, this is just pointless. I was just staring into space.
The novelty of having a bed day wears off very quickly, doesn't it? When you can't just enjoy it. Not that anyone enjoys being unwell, but you kind of just...
It really wasn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be honest.
This illness stuff really isn't what they all make out.
Yeah, but it also got to the point where my bum was a bit numb. And I couldn't lay down, and I couldn't sit up, but the only thing I could do was be in bed. Oh, yeah, anyway, let's move on. I've taken up far too much of this podcast complaining about how ill that I've been.
Oh, no, you poor dear.
I know, woe is me. In other news, can we discuss how light it is, specifically at 5 p.m, because I am excited.
Oh, my God, honestly, and it's been mild. I took my jacket off the other day to take a picture, and I didn't feel like really freezing. I thought, do you know what? This is good.
It's exciting, is it? I don't think any of us should get too excited, because I just want to, you know,
the March prepare snow. Really.
I know. Have I talked about it a lot?
No, but you know, I was saying to Joe, I said this when I was at the gym, actually. I was just saying, like,
I was at the gym. Can we just backtrack?
At the gym. This new me. Yeah. My once a week session.
Well done you. Keep going.
Thank you. But I was saying, I was like, I get so excited about this. But then I forget what happened last year when it all went like this. And then we got the March snow. And then after that, it was fine.
I think this is enough to give me hope. Like, even if we get the March snow, because I've got, like, in our garden, this is the first year ever we've had a garden since, like, I lived at home, since I was, I don't know, 18. And we've got, like, little shoots in the garden. Oh. And we think they're daffodils. We've no idea what they are, because the previous tenants will have put them there. But we're just like, ooh, I've seen some snowdrops. Yeah, I've been outside, not really needed a coat.
Wow, I thought you were going to say, I've seen some things. My granddad's actually coming over to do a bit of pruning and cutting back tomorrow in preparation for spring. So that is very exciting. I say that like you've got an enormous garden. We have like a square, but enough to put a lounger out there.
Yeah, no, I love your garden. It's really nice. And we've I've had absolutely nothing to do with it. But Jack's just finished building a bedding box. My only input was when he asked me what colour should it be, I said pink, and he painted it pink for me.
I was gonna say, I was like, give me a second to guess what color was it. Honolulu pink, Charlotte.
Which is everything's painted with. No, because you can't have that indoor paint outdoor, you see. But it's
she's learning pink paint.
Yeah. Nothing to do with me, but I'm excited to get going with that. We probably should have planted something already. There's probably people screaming at the podcast going, you're too late.
I know.
I'm sure there'll be something that I'm not too late for.
Maybe put some pumpkin things in it for the autumn. Pumpkin things.
Pumpkin things. Yeah, I'll get on that straight away.
I know. Apologies, gardeners and horticultural knowledgeable folk. Yeah.
Shall we move on to something we have a bit more knowledge about with Teletalk? Well, I think it's going to be, whatever we've watched this week is going to be a letdown. I counted when I was writing the notes, and we spoke about 15 different TV and films.
It was quite intense, wasn't it? It was a big welcome back.
Well, it kind of gave me a bit of a harsh reality check, a good cold, hard stare in the mirror and go, you really need some hobbies.
I know. Do you know what, though? Saying that, this week, I've had a TV and film fueled week. Who am I?
I know. Well, actually, I did paint a wardrobe pink. So I have done other things. But, you know, there's still only so much you can do in this weather.
I know. But that's the thing. I mean, I must say, I must intervene and tell you about the BAFTAs, because that feels like it's telly talk all over it, even though it's more film talk. But I went to the BAFTAs.
And also not just like the telly BAFTAs. You went to the BAFTAs.
I went to the BAFTA BAFTAs. Oh, do you know when it was a pure one of those moments? I think, how on earth have I ended up here? Like, who has let me here?
I don't know who did it, but I loved the commentary. The WhatsApp commentary from you was, because that actually was the first day of my sickness, and I was feeling sorry for myself, and I kept getting these updates from you, and I was like, more.
Oh my God, do you know what? It's just because I was there, and I felt like I was probably driving everyone a little bit up the wall, because I was so hysterically excited about everything. Like, I was lit. We were on the first tier at the Albert Hall, and you could look down and you could spot people walking in. So, like, when Rami Malek walked in a bit late and just shook Brian May's hand, I was like, ah! And I just could not believe it. I just couldn't believe I was seeing it with my own eyes. You know, it happens in real life, but just seeing it. And I think everyone was just a bit like, oh my God, who is this person?
Yeah, but that's how, like, we don't get to go to these things. Like, this is like, but that, talk of the town,
and that's it. And
like, you'll never guess where Liv's been. The BAFTAs.
I know, but and I was saying to a few friends on the weekend, I was like, we don't need to be there. Like, it's such a privilege to get to go to these things, because I have no skill in the film or television or editing or any of those arts. Like, they don't need me to be there. So even getting to sneak in, even though I was allowed in, was just
official.
I promise the more I say it, the less true it seems, but it's such an honor. That's how like I'm accepting an award now. I'm accepting an invitation.
Yeah, I know, but I would have been so happy to be there. What was your highlight? What was the red carpet like? Was it really weird? Was it busy?
I mean, we did get there quite early, so we didn't see like loads of the big stars. I mean, saying that, I saw Glenn Close up close. That's like a big deal. And I saw Tandy Newton walk past. So it was very exciting, but it's just very hectic. And you kind of feel like, because there's lots, I had a funny moment where I walked along the bit where all the paps are taking photos, and you see them obviously taking pictures of people that are genuinely famous and interesting. And you can hear the camera, like the flashbulbs going, and then I walked across and the PR lady was like, just stop there for a photo. Stop there, and then it was like, and that was it. And it was just the most.
Was it your dad as well?
Hi, Liv. So it's harrowing sound, because you're just like, oh God, it's just confirmation of what I already knew.
I know what you mean. That sound, like, it almost sounds like a rolling. Like, I've heard it before at fashion shows. Like, it's a really loud sound,
and then it stops, and then you're like, oh God. Oh God,
I didn't want to stop for a picture anyway. She made me.
But that's the thing. I was like, I didn't want this. You didn't want this, and I didn't want this.
And I definitely won't be buying the picture of me from Getty. So we can all just move on.
I should have tried searching for it. It'd be like unknown woman in pink or something.
And what time did you have dinner?
Oh, the dinner was quite, it was about 10:30. We were called for dinner. But I must say, the dining room we're in, I was just beside myself, because we were in the same dining room as like Joanna Lumley and Bradley Cooper. Everyone was eating in one room. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably best I wasn't there. I mean, nobody would have come near me, because I'd look like death warmed up. But I mean, I don't know. I think in those situations, I might become a little bit impulsive and be like, Bradley!
I know, but that's the thing. Like, we were at one moment, towards the end of the evening, I was with the lovely PR who invited me. And I was like, look, we are going to walk around here and we're going to do a bit of celeb spotting. I didn't come here not to do that. And we walked.
I didn't come here to play it cool.
I came here for a good time and not a long time. And we were walking around and we walked past Olivia Colman and Rachel Weisz. And I cannot for the life of me remember his name, but the director of Roma, terribly unprofessional. But they were all standing there, and I was literally about 3 seconds. All I needed was a wing woman to go, yeah, go on. Because I was going to say to them, congrats on a brilliant evening, the lot of you.
And then Oh God.
I know. And I didn't. And I was like, should I do it? And she was kind of like, oh, I'm not too sure. And I thought, no, maybe I couldn't.
Be cool, Liv. Be cool.
I mean, imagine if I did drink. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well, that's what I was actually just thinking, because I've been in a situation before, in a fancy place, and like Jack's had to stop me because I've necked a few champagnes, and I'm like, oh, and Jack's like, no, stop, no, 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 that is not a good idea.
I know, that's the thing. I do wonder sometimes, but I was just. so excited. But yeah, no, I feel like because I'm a bit of a film boffin, I like watch all the films as well. I mean, I'd only seen Green Book later this week, actually.
Yeah, but you should have said, guys, we have a podcast and we talk about TV and films, and we've mentioned some of your names.
I know, that's the thing. We're quite an authority in the film critiquing, actually.
Yeah, forget Kermode and Mayo. It's all about us.
I know, that's what I should have said. I was like, you probably know who I am.
Well, while you were jetting off to the BAFTAs, I say jetting off, you probably got the train or a car. But what have I been watching? So Russian Doll on Netflix has me hooked. Have you seen it advertised?
No.
Well, you know how like Netflix all of a sudden just like pops up with like a new show, and then like the whole internet's talking about it, and you're like, hang on a second, like how am I already behind?
Oh, yeah, like Bird Box, which I still haven't watched.
Oh yeah, we'll not be watching Bird Box, but Russian Doll. It was like the second or third day of my illness. I don't know if I've mentioned that I've been ill.
Yeah. But,
I know. I just kind of, I was trying to work and I was like, Charlotte, just give up, just surrender. So I spent the whole day in bed, like listening to podcasts, and then I went on Netflix and I thought I'd watched the whole of Netflix, but turns out I have not. And it's got Natasha Lyonne in from Orange is the New Black, and you'll have seen her in American Pie as well. Who was she in American Pie?
I don't think I've seen American Pie.
What do you mean you don't think you've seen American Pie?
I just don't think I have. Don't remember it.
The teen film where, like, he has sex with the apple pie?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
I have no words, and I'm going to move on. And I'm also going to point out this is the second time that I've mentioned American Pie in a row. That's right, she played Jessica in American Pie. But anyway, it's... I don't even know how to describe it. It's really short episodes again, which I'm really liking in TV at the moment, because it just means that you can just get through them and then do the ultimate binge watch. But I started watching it without Jack, which was a real problem because he was actually getting on with his day and not being ill. So I can't talk to him about it. And it's just the kind of show where you need to talk about it, because it's just the weirdest show. The only way I can describe it without ruining anything is... the main character keeps dying, and she keeps coming back to the same night that starts off as her birthday party. And I'm six episodes in, and I think there's eight to the series, but Jack's been here, my mum's been here, and none of them have watched it. And I'm like,
sounds weird. Sounds a bit scary for you.
No, it does sound a bit scary for me, doesn't it? And I nearly didn't watch it because I was like, I think the warnings were like heavy drug use and something else. And I was like, oh no, too dark. But it's actually, she makes it very lighthearted and she's quite sarcastic. Her lead character is called Nadia. And yeah, it's her 36th birthday party and she keeps going on about this in this loop. And a few people on Instagram were like, I don't like it. It's not for me. But episode 4, which is actually quite pretty much halfway through, that's when it like really turns and you're like, oh, I am into it now, I'm invested. I would really recommend it. It is a little bit dark, but not too dark.
Okay.
Not gray. Too much tension.
Yeah, it's a little bit grey.
In fact, I might have to finish it tonight because I've just got two more episodes left and it's been hanging around. You could easily watch it in a week. Obviously, unless you have better things to do, but I do not.
Other things I've been watching. Well, there is another film I've only watched half of, so I'm going to save that for next week.
I'm intrigued. Can you tell me what you've seen half of?
Crazy Rich Asians.
So that reminds me, we to watch Crazy Rich Asians was part of our Christmas homework, wasn't it? I haven't watched that, and it's reminded me that I need to watch it. But the other film that was on our homework was the Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Pie Society.
I haven't watched that. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Devastating.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks for that. Cried my eyes out.
Oh, I didn't expect it to be a sad one, but then I know nothing about the plot line, so...
It's happy in parts, but there's an underlying really, really sad story. So, yeah, thanks for that. But I would definitely give it a watch. It just reminded me that I forgot to talk about it last week, but... it would have gone unnoticed amongst our 15, most watched. But I did really enjoy it. I can't believe remember where we got it from. I think I got it from YouTube in the end. You know, you can rent films from YouTube.
Yes.
But yeah, really, really good. We snuck off to the cinema again this week. Ooh. Really pleased with ourselves. And we watched Juliet Naked, which I'm really annoyed. I didn't realise was based on a book, because I would really like to have read the book, because I think it would be a really good one. It's a Nick Hornby book. The book's the same name. But it stars Ethan Hawke, who I absolutely love. I just think he's the most brilliant actor. And it's also got Chris O'Dowd in, and Rose Byrne is the lead female. And Chris O'Dowd is Rose's long-term boyfriend, and he basically runs this like singer-songwriter appreciation society for this this singer called Tucker Crowe who kind of went into hiding, and he runs this like fan site for quite a few nerdy fans. I don't want to say nerdy because I was always on these fan sites when I was younger. But it's all about their relationship and also Tucker Crowe, who's played by Ethan Hawke. And the whole thing is actually set in Broadstairs and Ramsgate as well, which is really nice. They pretend it's another town because they're quite derogatory towards the town because it's a sleepy town. But it was such a good film. I can't say any more because I really feel like I'm going to ruin it.
How had I never heard about this?
It's on limited release. Like, we went to a smaller cinema to see it, but you would really like it. It's right up your street.
Oh my God, that really reminds me of. Have you seen the trailer for Yesterday?
Oh my goodness, how good does it look?
Honestly, I was trying to explain it to Joe and I just could not explain it properly. I was just like, you just have to watch the trailer. I was like,
I'm just going to ask, how could you not explain it?
I think I don't know, it's a very simple plot line, but I couldn't do it any justice. I couldn't be like, oh, so there's this guy and then like the world like basically has a power cut. And then everyone kind of comes back around and has forgotten who the Beatles are apart from this one guy who then starts singing their songs and everyone thinks he's a genius, which is how I should have explained it because that was perfect. I mean.
That's what I mean. I was like, how could you not explain the premise? It's the most simple premise since Titanic.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for it though.
And also for anybody who hasn't seen the trailer, go and have a look. But it's directed by Danny Boyle. But most excitingly, it was written by Richard Curtis. And
we all know what that means, guys. We all know what that means.
We just know it's going to be marvelous. But when is it out? Oh, it's not out until June. It's a long time to wait.
Probably a good thing, actually. I'll be on the wedding come down, so I definitely need a little pick me up.
But that's what Juliet Naked, that's kind of, I don't know, that kind of feel good, warming kind of like Richard Curtis-esque film. Which reminded me, have you seen Ethan Hawke? There were these three series of films called the Before Trilogy and Before Sunrise. There's Before Sunset and there's Before Midnight. But they're all set like 15 years apart from each other or roughly, and it's about this kind of couple and their life, and I'd recommend that for people to watch if you haven't seen it, because that's what made me really fall in love with Ethan Hawke.
Oh no, I haven't, but I feel like that's something I should watch.
I love the way we're starting giving out homework now of things to watch.
Yeah, there's things you should watch. Also, there's one more thing. Have you got anything else you wanted to mention?
Frasier. I've been watching lots of Frasier.
Perfect.
I don't think we need to explain the premise to anybody. But one thing that we managed to do is convince June that watching Frasier's fun because she looks for Eddie the dog.
We're
all having a good time. We don't need to watch Peppa Pig. We're like, oh, June, Frasier's on. Let's see if we can find Eddie.
Your favourite, June.
We're really pleased with ourselves.
Strategy. I just wanted to quickly mention, because we were going to do a whole podcast episode about this, but we are not. It was the BBC Panorama episode.
Oh, yes. What was the official title? It was about influencers, wasn't it?
It was like £1 million selfie sell-off. That was the title.
I didn't watch it, because I'd seen on somebody's stories that they said that the one of the researchers had called them and was like really trying to steer the direction in a certain way. And I don't know, it was somebody that I quite, it was a slow traveller on Instagram. It was, I really respect her and her work. And generally, I just kind of feel like I just knew it wasn't going to be a programme that was going to put me in a particularly good mood. I just kind of felt from the way that they portrayed it on their Instagram accounts, Panorama, that it wasn't going to be a very balanced programme. So I just decided to save myself the increase in blood pressure and not watch it. Did you watch it?
I did. And that would have been sensible to not watch it because I just got really frustrated. Because I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. Because often with these programmes, I kind of steer away from them. But sometimes I'm like, no, Liv, like it's good to get see like a balanced perspective. It's good to see both sides of the coin and, you know, shape your judgment on things. And I went into it and I ended up like, I got really angry. Like my eyes watered at one point because I was really cross.
I thought you're like, and I am really cross.
And I'm really quite cross. But no, it was just, I don't really recommend watching it. I think it did bring up some really interesting points. And I think it's a really like positive conversation to be having about like transparency and clarity and advertising standards. I think they're all so important, especially with things like diet shakes and detox teas and eating disorders. Like that is really, really, really important. But it was just, it kind of just suggested that everyone who works on Instagram or online is just trying to flog something for a quick buck. And I was like, I just did a series of tweets and I was just saying it kind of negates everything so many of us have worked for so many years before Instagram even existed. And to be lumped in with the people that just leave a reality TV show and take 5 minutes doing an Insta story, I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing. But no, it was interesting, but it did make me cross. So maybe I shouldn't have watched it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw like a lot of the aftermath on Twitter, and I think like one of the main problem is everybody being lumped under this influencer umbrella. Like content creators are one thing. I don't know. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because everyone's entitled to their opinion, and everyone's got criticisms about various industries and the way that they operate. And a few people were like, kind of not very happy that people had an opinion. So a few people I saw on Twitter were like, oh, people are taking this program really personally, aren't they? Or don't worry, you know, you're still going to get work. And I don't think it was about the fact that anybody's worried that they're not going to get work, or I think it's just quite difficult to work in an industry that's constantly got kind of like negativity coming towards it, which is, you know, fine. It's not like I don't want to have any constructive conversations, but I think that when it's discussed, there's never the other side of the coin. It's not a 360 argument. It's very much kind of like a sensationalist kind of view on the topic. I think that's what kind of was my underlying bugbear about it.
I think that's it. And I mean, I got like, I saw a couple of tweets that people were like, oh, here come the backlash, like here come the bloggers getting angry. And I was like, well, yeah, like I am gonna defend my career, obviously. I am, like, I'm really passionate about it and I've worked really hard, so yeah, I am actually going to get a bit frustrated. And it's kind of like that, even that in itself kind of felt a bit passive aggressive, because I was like, it's just like saying, oh, here come the angry women. Like, I was just, do you know what I mean? It's that kind of general gist. And I was like, oh, anyway, no more negativity.
Yes. And I'm not sure why I didn't watch it. Exactly. But I haven't been watching anything else, but I think we have quite a meaty topic to talk about today. So I actually haven't been shopping either. The only thing that I have bought are some reusable cotton pads, and I haven't used them yet, so I can't even review them.
Oh, damn. Do you know what I did for the first time ever this week? I went on to Goop. Gwyneth Paltrow's lifestyle and beauty website.
And why did you log on to Goop?
I can't remember. I think I might have read something about it in a magazine. I don't know what spurred me on, but I just fell into this deep hole of all these really luxurious things that I didn't realise I even needed and still don't need. But I was just like, wow, there is something for everything. It was amazing. Like, I really recommend it. If you've got time you need to just waste, highly recommend.
Didn't their Christmas gift guide include a private island?
Possibly. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
What was one of the things on there that you saw and you were like, wow, I have no idea.
I mean, elaborate sex toys.
What was the priciest sex toy? I'm going to have a look now. Oh, their most expensive one's £176, which you could argue, you know, that is cheaper than a date.
Yeah.
And, you get to take it home. So there are a lot of things on here, not just in the sex toy category, but in other categories that I have never seen before. A stone diffuser. Okay, fine, right. I'm gonna save this for after the podcast because, wow, what is that? That looks like it should. There's an essential oil burner that looks like it should be in a laboratory.
Wow. Oh,
there's all kinds on here, isn't there? Oh, what have you done?
I'm just gonna have to revisit after this podcast.
Wow, mushroom hot cacao mix with reishi. That sounds awful.
Close the tab.
What are we going to talk about this week?
So this week we are talking about weddings.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a conversation that me and you have both had over WhatsApp, over the phone, in person, so many times since you both got engaged. And it's mainly just to kind of air all our concerns and worries if there are any other brides to be out there or people that are involved in weddings or just want to listen to a bit of wedding chat. We just thought, why not do a whole episode about it? Because I think I personally, when you get engaged, the amount of people that ask you questions about weddings can be quite overwhelming if you're in it solo. But I think when you talk about it to other people, you suddenly kind of feel a bit more rational.
Yeah, I didn't realise. So to set the scene, me and my boyfriend have been together for 10 years in February, actually. Our anniversary was a couple of weeks ago. And we've been engaged for 4 years. Last week, like 4 Decembers ago, we got engaged. Since then, we've had June, the wedding. I don't know, really. We just kind of got sidetracked by life. And you and Joe, when did you get engaged?
It'll be 2 years in July. So, yeah, about a year and a half.
You've been together 10 years this year as well, haven't you?
Yeah, in May. So it's, yeah, very similar, very similar.
But nothing has made me kind of, not lose my mind as such, but has honestly sent me as wild as planning a wedding. Like I've lost myself a few times, and I think both of us have had WhatsApp conversations, phone conversations, like IRL conversations, and they've helped massively. So we were just kind of, if anybody is getting married or is married or in the future gets married, that this podcast might help, just to kind of calm you down and talk you down from the ceiling, really, because it's definitely helped me.
You really do lose sight. I think when you get engaged, it's so exciting. And it is exciting. The whole thing should be exciting. And that is the long and short of it. But you get engaged and you just look all the things you really like and you have a budget and it's all really attainable. And then give it a few weeks or months and then things just start going wild. And it's just, you speak to different people who say they've done different things, and then you're like, it just plants lots of seeds that you didn't even realise were there growing or manifesting. And then suddenly you're like worrying about seat covers and cutlery and glasses and all these things that people will not remember on the day, but they become enormous, enormous things in your irrational brain.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think irrational brain is a really good analogy, because you get swept up in it. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting swept up in it. We've been together 10 years. We've been engaged for. I'm cool. Like, you know, we're just having a nice day to celebrate our relationship with friends and family. That's the crux of this, you know, if we break it down. And then before you know it, you're like, yeah, I do want the pink crystal glasses. And what was that? The gold cutlery. Yeah. And a charger plate. Jack was like, sorry, a charger plate. What does it do? Charge my phone. And I'm like, do you know what? I don't even know what a charger plate is. Nor do I know why I want one. I have no idea.
And then you start wondering how much you're actually doing because you want it, and how much you're doing because it's Instagrammy or cool or what you've seen online. And then it almost becomes this like internal competition with people that are maybe, I don't know, like there have been times where I found myself like comparing my wedding, my non-existent wedding at the moment, to other people's non-existent weddings at the moment. And I'm just like, when did this become rational and or normal and or appropriate? It's so bizarre. And you're kind of just like the reason this is important and people will love it is because it's me and my partner. That is it. Like, no, that's what people will remember. Hopefully they'll remember other things, especially cutlery. But the reason you're doing it is because you want a nice day with your friends. And when I look back on weddings I've been to, the things I remember are the people that were there, the dancing and the music, and possibly the evening snacks, because I remember a really great sausage sandwich. And that is it. That is literally it.
I just keep having to remind myself about the fundamental, like, basic, what is a wedding? Like, what is marriage? Because that's the other thing. A wedding is a marriage, essentially. Like, well, a wedding isn't a marriage, kind of. You know, that's one day. The marriage is the rest of your life. So maybe a little bit more cynical than some brides, as in, like, some advice that I would probably give my younger self is, like, if you can get married in the throes of romance, it must be a really, like, romantic thing. And I'm not saying it's not going to be romantic, but we've been together for a decade. We've had a baby together. Like, we know each other inside out, and we've already kind of made a commitment to each other. So a wedding to us, like, I keep making the joke, but I genuinely mean it. I keep seeing my friends and family at wakes more than I see them at weddings. And I think that that's just going to increase.
Yeah, you're like, we need to mix this up, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason that, like, because I imagine a few people would be like, well, why have you decided to get married? Like, you've been together for that long and you've been engaged for that long. But it was just, we were stood at a friend's wedding last summer and we were like, this is, like, really beautiful. Like, I just want something to look back on when I'm a little bit grey, a little bit old, or having a bit of a low day. I want to be able to, like, look back on my pictures and just, like, remember a really happy day where I handpicked all the people that I love and they're all going to be in one room. Because let's face it, if I don't do this, they're probably going to be all together at my funeral and I'm not even going to be there.
That's the thing. And when you boil it down to that, you kind of remember how trivial all the other things are. Like, you think, oh, like, favours, name cards, table plans. Like, obviously, getting a table plan right is a different thing. But they're all so trivial because all you want is to have all the people you care about in one room, essentially having a great time and celebrating the fact that you are with someone you really love. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, like, I'm just trying to think, like, some of the best kind of times I've had with my friends or the best parties I've been to. We were probably drinking out of plastic cups. I mean, not anymore, paper cups. But, you know, we were probably drinking, like, warm cider out of paper cups now, obviously. I don't want my wedding to be that, but it, you know, I can't necessarily remember what we ate, or I don't know what soup spoon somebody gave me. And it's not to belittle, I mean, that's one thing that I have to kind of make sure that nobody thinks I'm saying, is that it's not to belittle anybody that works in the wedding industry or suppliers or anything like that, because that is one thing that I have kind of learn to appreciate is how much work actually goes in. If you think about invitations, food, for everybody to have a nice day in the style that I want it. Like, so we're getting married in a place not too far from Lincoln, and it's an old Georgian house, and we're getting married in October, and actually we're getting married on a Thursday because it's £1,000 cheaper than getting married on a Saturday in the summer. I personally love autumn, so does Jack. We get a bit hot and bothered if the weather's too warm. And also for the price, it includes 8 double rooms. So actually when you look at that as well, and for us, value for money is really important. I'm not saying, you know, for other people, it might not be as important, but well, you know, we've got other things that we need to maybe focus on financially. And that was another reason to get married now, is because we want to start saving for a house deposit. Now, if we save for the house deposit, the wedding's going to be further out of our reach because we'll be like, oh, well,
you know. There's always going to be something with another priority.
Yeah, there's always going to be something. And I think, you know, that was one of the reasons that we decided to get married this year, because we're like, oh, I'm sick of the always something. Like, let's put some money aside for this day that we both really want, but we're trying to spend as little as possible. So for example, like I've really shopped around for my dress. Some of the dress prices I had like really scared me, and I was like, do I want a nice dress? And I do want a nice dress, but do I want the £1,500-1,800 dress? And I know people spend a lot more, or, you know, can I spend a few hundred pounds on a dress? Like, I can't remember my last quote to get it made, I think it was about £400-500, and then everyone can drink champagne for the rest of the day, because I'd like, not saying champagne's important, but I'd really like everybody to, or I'd really like to drink champagne all day. That's what I'd like. So it's like, I can't have both things, because both things are a lot of money when you add them up together, if that makes sense.
No, completely. I feel like everything does tally up really, really, really quickly. And you have all these ideas. And I think, do you know what the thing is? You see on Pinterest all these like beautiful editorials, and that's exactly what they are. And they're kind of made to feel like they're real weddings. And you kind of think like, you can't make that happen. Like that took a team of people and like thousands of pounds. And it's kind of the bars we set ourselves in order to think we're going to have a nice day just get higher and higher and higher. And I think Instagram's amazing because it supplies a lot of inspiration, but then it also kind of sets this bar where you think, to have a good day, I will have to have these things. Whereas actually you're like, I can have a great day and have none of those things.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I think there's a few, actually, even the alternative weddings that I've looked at, and not that I need to know what everyone spent, but I think that would be a really useful like measuring tool, because you see a lot of these weddings and I'm like, amazing, but I don't know how much it cost. It could have cost like 30 grand 40 grand. I have no idea how much this wedding cost that I've yet put on my Pinterest board or my inspiration board. It's not like a realistic like comparison. It just you know, I know what we've got to spend, and it's half of the average wedding in the UK, and we're going to make it happen somehow. Like, well, I know how we're going to make it happen. We're not having favours. I can't be spending, saving all that money by not having favours. You know, we're getting married on a Thursday. I'm not having an extravagant dress, but to me, like spending £400-500 on a dress is really extravagant. Like, but I guess it's where you prioritise your money, isn't it? Because some people are like, actually, no, I really want that. Like, we're not having, because we're staying in the venue where we're getting married and we're having the reception there, we won't need wedding cards, so we'll be saving money on that. And then I'm just trying to think what else we're saving money on. There are other things that will come to me in a minute.
That's the thing. It's so personal.
I think we've spoken about Instagram before, but I do think Instagram and Pinterest have a huge role to play in what is realistic, what is attainable, in all walks of life, in terms of like house DIYs, wardrobe, restaurants. And I also think weddings, restaurants, but you know, restaurants and holidays, like what people spend their money on. And I also think weddings as well, it can just seem like, are you doing this for you and your partner, or are you doing it? Every now and again, I've had to be a little bit honest with myself and go, well, actually, is that important to you? Or do you just think that that's going to look good and maybe like impress people. And that's a really kind of like not a nice trait to have to look at yourself and go, you know, are you just keeping up with the Joneses type of thing?
Oh, completely. And especially weddings can make you feel like that. And you know, I was actually on Rock My Wedding, and I was looking through a lot of their kind of weddings that have been submitted by different couples. And that really made me feel so much better about the whole planning process, because I was just seeing such a variety of weddings in different places who had different weather. A lot of them were in the UK, and it just kind of made me look at it and I was like, oh, they didn't have that thing that I was worrying about, and it looks amazing and no one probably noticed. And, you know, it was just, it kind of rebalances things, because there is just this, I was saying to, I've said to a few people actually, I was talking a lot about, because I saw someone on Instagram talk about needing to tone up and shape up for the wedding. And I think that's another thing that I think is a really quite a, like, a funny topic for me, because I think, again, with a lot of things about weddings, you're under a lot of pressure. And another thing we put ourselves under pressure is to look a certain way on our wedding day. And I just feel like, obviously, everyone should feel their best, no matter how they look. And everyone is entitled to feel insecure and conscious about things. But it's the fact that someone's actually said to me, oh, you're doing a wedding diet? And I'm like, what? It blew my mind. And I was like, why is there this expectation that if you get married, you're suddenly meant to just become this unattainable version of yourself that you perhaps keep looking back on? And this, do you know what I mean? But like, why would you want to change the way you look in the lead up to a day that symbolizes nothing about that?
Yeah, I think it's so tricky. I mean, everybody that's there loves you for you. Like, or at least, well, first of all, your partner should, kind of groom or wife, or, you know, and then your friends and family as well. And I guess it's really tricky, isn't it? Because I'm really sighing, but I guess one of the biggest things that I guess maybe most people will come up against, which I didn't expect, is the guest list. So I think I found that the hardest. I think money number two, but number one, well, they're kind of intertwined, aren't they? Because you are spending money on people, and not that I resent spending that money at all, but you know, venues have like capacity limits, and you can't break those. So ours is quite small in comparison to a lot of people's, and sometimes you have to kind of be like, I don't know, it just becomes really awkward, doesn't it? And then the whole thing with children, and you don't want people to kind of be upset because they haven't got an invite. Whereas I think a lot of people do understand,
especially if you are getting married, it's definitely made me appreciate that if I'm not invited to somebody's wedding, it's not a personal attack. It doesn't mean that I'm not liked or valued. It just means that people have budgets and not all venues can accommodate for everybody. And it's not personal. It can feel like it, but it is so difficult. It's so difficult narrowing down a guest list.
Yeah, I think in the past I might have, I would have never have said it to the person, but, you know, been a bit upset that I hadn't been invited to somebody's wedding. Whereas now that I'm planning one, I'm like, cut me from your wedding list. If I can save you a little bit of a hassle, I will. And that sounds really harsh, but it's been a really enlightening experience organising a wedding. It hasn't been as much fun, honestly, as I thought it was going to be.
I feel like, yeah, it kind of shines a lot of light on a lot of self-reflection and what's important to you and who's important to you. And like, it does kind of make you reassess everything, not to sound like intense, but it's weird, isn't it? 'Cause it's essentially one day. And although that can be played both ways, you can think, oh, it's one day, you know, it doesn't matter. But on the other hand, it's like, it's one day, it's got to be the best. So there is that real split there. But it does kind of make you assess what's important. And, you know, I think whether you choose to spend a little or a lot, I think it is just what you make of it. And I think people will enjoy it and they'll have a good time because it's you there. They won't care how much you've spent, and they won't care if you've got all the trimmings or none of the trimmings, because both kinds of weddings will be beautiful. And I think that's another thing I've had to kind of realize, that whether you have you know, flower garlands hanging from the ceiling or fairy lights under your feet or anything like that, or whether you have a really minimal rustic ceremony, both are beautiful. Like, there isn't one definition of beautiful or lovely when it comes to a wedding. And I think that is something that I think everyone should really try and keep in mind, because it's really easy to forget.
Yeah, I just think with wedding planning, yeah, you just have to keep your vision in mind. And what's actually been really good for me is, because we did get engaged 4 years ago, and the whole kind of idea of that was, whether you, like, some people don't like the fact people have long engagements, like, it wasn't really planned, but the idea was, we were both broke at that point, living in London. We'd been together for a while, but, like, we both just wanted to know that we were, not know, but just kind of like show that we were committed to each other and that the relationship had a future. Even though we knew we probably couldn't get married, like, deep down, we kind of wanted to take that next step. So, but I actually saved loads of things on a Pinterest and a folder. And what's been actually really nice is to go back to those pictures. And I have quite a similar taste to what I had 4 years ago, whereas I imagine some people would go back and go, oh my God, like, I mean, there are some things that definitely aren't my taste anymore. But the bits that I like, I've continued with them, because I think it's quite easy to get swept up in trends, and, you know, especially when you work in fashion as well. I'm like, you know, if I turn up on the day in the dress that I kind of feel like I might fancy in October 2019, probably by like December 2019, I'll look back and go, what are you wearing?
I think that's it. It's so good. Like, I think initially, before we even got engaged, people were like, oh, have you thought about your wedding? And I'd be like, no, not at all. And then I'd reel off every single detail. And I think a lot of those things have remained the same, because I'm like, oh, like, my tastes have stayed the same. And obviously there are, yeah, like you said, there are certain things, but I'm like, no, I kind of know what I want. And very few things have changed. It's good to not be too governed by trends either.
Yeah, it is about kind of like having your eye on your prize and just keep reminding yourself what the day is about for you. Obviously, I'm kind of sat here almost, I do sound a little bit cynical, but that is mine and Jack's relationship. Like, we're quite cynical people in a way. Like, that's one of the things, like, one of our bonds. So we're not going to have we're not going to have a big lavish day. I mean, the other day Jack said, should we just not bother with flowers and just have some plants? And I was like, pardon? Sorry, we've met, right? Like, Charlotte Jacqueline, nice to meet you. So, you know, but I'll be spending the money on the flowers. That's kind of one thing I want, and then won't be spending it on other things, because I just would love for it to kind of feel like it's filled with flowers. So while I say it's not going to be opulent, like, it's going to be opulent for me, but compared to other people's weddings, they might be like, I don't know. It's just everybody's kind of relatable scale, isn't it, really? And I think that's what you have to remember. You are you, and you and your partner like what you like, and not to get overwhelmed or start kind of like playing games, like trying to keep up with people. I mean, we should have kept some of the WhatsApp conversations, because I think they're hilarious. Like, both of us have just...
Should I have a quick scroll and see if I can find some of the things? Oh yeah, we were talking about weddings being extortionate. And then you said, I lost it again the other night. I was like, call it off. And then I said... and you said, I'm on a fitness mission, not diet as such, just get fit. And I said, I have a PT. It's the only way I can get to the gym. And then I said, you said, I have my trampoline out for the boarding.
Can I just say the trampoline's back in the garage? Oh, look, previously to that, I said, it's just kind of a lot of money for a dress to wear once, when everything else is so pricey. And then I said, I was clearly having a bad day. Well, I'm slowly giving up on the wedding dresses. I was a bit cross. I was very cross, actually.
I can't find a photographer. I have quotes. I can't settle on one. And then I said, you just want someone who's nice. You could take a good picture.
And I said, and everyone's doing that moody shit, like all wedding photographers. Why is it pitch black, pray?
Just, and then I said, like four tiny eyes in the darkness. It's just a day.
Silver cutlery, like in capital letters. Yeah, I think the thing is with weddings, like every now and again with the planning, you just feel overwhelmed. and you just think, sod it all. Like, what are we even doing? Like, because the thing is, there is like a fundamental cost to getting married. Even if you went to a registry office, it costs what it costs to get married by a registrar. It costs what it costs to feed so many people. But, and like, even a basic wedding, I would probably suggest, you know, if you wanted to have like a meal, a photographer, a dress, you probably couldn't get married for much less than $5,000. Now, people are probably going to message me and go, I got married for $2,000, or I, you know, we got married for this. But if you just wanted to go to the registry office and get married, wear something
you want. And have a nice dinner. You could do it for like a few hundred pounds.
Yeah, but you know, you've got to wear something you already own. Which, to be fair, I could probably find. I'm probably looking at a wedding dress right now. But you know, there are fundamental costs to get married. But like, if you've committed to wanting to have a certain type of wedding, I just think every now and again, you need people like Liv where you can have these WhatsApp conversations where people just kind of bring you back down, and they're just like, "It's all going to be all right. Like, it's going to be a beautiful day, whatever happens."
And you can't change things. If things will go wrong, that's inevitable, but it's about you and your partner, and whatever happens will happen.
And there we go.
But maybe what we should do is start a thread on the Facebook group so people can talk all about weddings and let it off their chests and have a good little chat. If people have got lots, any tips they'd suggest. I feel like part of me sometimes wishes we'd got a wedding planner, because I think having an extra pair of hands would have been good. But again, I think costs, obviously, because it's a service and they do a great job, but, you know, things add up.
I really hope that nobody has kind of come away from this podcast and think we're diminishing the wedding industry at all. I think what people, I mean, I couldn't do it if you wanted me to plan your wedding. That's why I'm not in the business. But we just wanted to kind of like, keep it real, really, and just like let you know what we've been talking about and what we've been stressing about and what I've been fretting about. Save the dates. That's another thing that I've saved money on, because I just text everyone the date. I'll keep coming up with things that I've saved money on. I think, as I say, I wasn't expecting wedding planning to be stressful or to be negative in any way. I just kind of expected it to be like a really nice thing, and it really took me by surprise that it hasn't been entirely all kind
of completely. I mean, me and Joe have photographed weddings in the past, and there is such a craft and it's such a high amount of pressure, and there's so many things that people do that you could not do, and it all requires such a lot of planning. So yeah, it's the kind of chat you have with your mates where you're kind of just like, God, it's been a bit testing today. And the thing is, people say to you, they're always like, oh, you know, it will be stressful. You know, sometimes there's tears, and you kind of think, no, it's going to be the most exciting thing. And it is so exciting. I cannot wait for our wedding, but it is just a lot to think about and it's a lot to juggle. But one thing my best friend always tells me, well, has been telling me, she'll probably stop telling me soon because it is getting quite close to the wedding, is that a few months before, she was like, well, you know, in September, you don't start worrying about Christmas yet, do you? And I was like, you're so right. And I'm trying to keep that in mind and think, you know, people turn these things around in very, very short spaces of time. So it can be done.
Yes. She says, yes, let's all breathe. But thank you for listening. As always, head over to the Facebook group. One thing I realise we should maybe start doing is introducing, there's a feature on Facebook where you can introduce new members per week, because I know that we... Yeah, when we first started, obviously everyone introduced themselves, but as we've had new members and people have been in the group for quite a while, there's not as many introductions. So we will try and keep on top of that, and we can tag everybody that's joined the Facebook group that week. So if you go to facebook.com/groups/thefringeofit, you will find all our lovely listeners in there, and we've been on the social media this week, so we have been on Twitter, nothing too involved, but there's a tweet or two.
Yeah, we're getting there, we're picking it back up, we're trying to be a bit more business savvy this year, new for 2019,
business podcasters.
Oh, good try.
I'm off to watch Cold Feet. I'll report back next week. It's the last one. Have a lovely week, everybody. We're going to try and release this midweek. Mondays aren't quite working. We'll get back to you with an official day.
Have a lovely week. Thank you for listening. And we hope that if you are planning a wedding, it's all going smoothly. But do not worry. You got this.
And if not, just come to my wedding and we can, like, I don't know, maybe we can marry a few people in one day or something. It'll be fine.
It'll all work out.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.